Hi, this is John Ozanting, lead pastor of Evolve Church, and this is the Evolve Church podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope that you find today's message encouraging and full of hope for wherever you're at.
So we're on a series. We're on week three. You might be here for the very first time, and I just want to set your mind at ease. It's okay if you miss parts one and two. It is. I'm going to do a brief recap to give you an understanding of where we're at and how we've arrived at today. And if you're ever curious to listen to previous messages, we have a podcast. It's audio at this point, but you can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts, or just go through our church website, evolvechurch.com. But we started a series 2 weeks ago called What's the Point? And it came out of our heart for the city of Edmonton and the hundreds and thousands of people that live in our city, that we live beside and work beside and serve beside and play beside, who, when it comes to church, what's in their heart would simply be, I don't see the point. What's the point of church? And I've heard so many stories that are similar to, I used to go to church, and then something happened, fill in the blank with their personal story, and so now I just don't see the point. And there are, and this is not just one demographic or one generation, but it's a whole culture of people that when it comes to church, their first response would be like, ugh, and their second response would be, what's the point? And so we wanted to take a few weeks and talk about the church, and talk about what it means to belong to church, and what's the mission of church. In the last 2 weeks, I've started with some definitions of church that I researched greatly and found on the website urbandictionary.com. And I've got a few new ones today to kick us off. Are you ready? A few new ones. Church. Again, this comes out of the heart of people. Church. Similar to a mental hospital, but with less physical restraints. Church. So if you're unfamiliar with urbandictionary.com, don't waste your time. It's a bit of a satirical website where anybody can submit any definition to any word. Accurate, inaccurate, tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic, mean, you name it. But I'm amazed that people actually take the time to log into a website and create a definition for something like church. Here's another one. A place where some guy in a costume gives you lessons on how to live life and what to do every day. Mainly for people who can't think for themselves. Church. I'm like, oh, maybe they came to Evolve the day I dressed up like Superman. I'm not sure what they meant by costume. Church. The worst place to, one, randomly laugh out loud. Two, take a snooze. Three, take a poop. Four, wear flip-flops. I kind of want to know who this is. Like, what life experience have they had in a Christian community that involved laughing out loud randomly, sneezing, pooping, and wearing flip-flops where they're like, I'm never going to church again, right? So there's a story there, and I kind of wish it was included on the website, but it wasn't. And the last one, church, a group of people that claim to be Christians when in reality they are not, that gossip about each other behind their backs. Church. So you can tell there's a jaded nuance of hurt, maybe not even nuance, blatant, obvious slap in the face. And so we've been talking about church, and we've done a little bit of a history lesson about how Jesus' followers, right after Jesus rose from the dead, started this like movement proclaiming the truth that Jesus was promised Messiah, that he miraculously rose, that he was worth following. We talked about 300 years later how Christianity became popular because Constantine became a follower of Jesus. And it was illegal to be a Christian for hundreds of years, and then all of a sudden it was legal. You could publicly profess that you were following Jesus and not get persecuted or arrested for it. And then, to add icing on the cake, the guy in charge of everything said, actually, I'm following Jesus. And then it became popular to follow Jesus. Then everyone's like, well, if he's doing it, I want to do it too. And then the church became institutionalized. And they applied all this, Everything they'd known about organized religion and pagan gods up to that point, they just bandaged that over this movement that was up till that point just called The Way. It was like The Way, these radical misfits, these Jesus followers. And it became institutionalized, and they built massive buildings and dressed in robes and added incense, and it became this, we attend something together rather than we're living on point and on mission for who we're following every day of our lives. And in the translation of the Bible, in the first week, we looked at the very first time the word church appears in the Bible, and it was Jesus talking to his followers. And what was in Jesus' heart was actually the word ecclesia, which simply means a movement of people connected by and unified by a purpose, living that out. And it involves gathering together, but it also involves scattering out as we share what we believe. And so we've been talking about gathering and scattering and ecclesia versus the German word Kirche, which where we get our English word church. And so that's a little bit of context. This quote from Andy Stanley in his book Deep and Wide, I love it. You can lock the doors of a Kirche, not so with the ecclesia of Jesus. Why? Because we're on mission, on movement for the cause of Christ. And you're in the room today, and you're brand new to this thing that we call church. Maybe this is the first time in your life that you've gone to church. And so already you're like, wait, we're not supposed to go to church? Can I leave now? Right? We're going to help you unpack that a little bit as we talk about what it means to be church and to live that out. And you might be in the room today where you've been a part of following Jesus for a lifetime. And you've, out of religious obligation, attended church every Sunday for as long as you can remember because you thought that's what you were supposed to do. And to you, I don't want to negate the beauty of what's going on right now in the room. Because we've already had moments where some of us have encountered something real and something deeply spiritual. And God's at work in our life. And my prayer is that as we work through this few questions today, that God would show up strong. But last week, we had a big question. It was this: what's the mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia that we've been invited into? And we defined that mission as this: to grow a community built on the hope of Jesus while living lives that share his extraordinary love. Building a community, gather together, living lives that share, scattering out. And not only do we assign you to that mission, should you choose to accept it, if you remember my Mission Impossible reference last week, we also said how we're going to do that. How do we fulfill that mission? And we put it this way: how do we grow a community built on the hope of Jesus while living lives that share his love? How? Well, by helping every person feel like they belong, find hope in Jesus, grow in their journey, and become someone who helps other people to do the same. Does that in any way smack of religion or ritual or maybe what's in your heart when you think about the word church? Today, I want to play a game. I want to ask another big question, and then I want to look at some verses from a letter called Acts that we can lean into today. Well, do you want to play a little bit of a game first? I'm going to show you a blurry image, and then you're going to tell me what that picture is, okay? Are you ready? First image. Anybody guess what that blurred image is? Man, when it's blown up that large. I'll give you a hint. It's food. Avocado. Banana. Bananas. Yes, very, very good. Very good. Massive bananas. Like, I could crawl into that peel. It's so huge. Okay, these are all food items. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you. So, what do we see here? Wait, who said ice cream? Amazing. Well done. Was that Kim? Hashtag nailed it. Ice cream. Well done, Kim. Okay, two more. Blurry image. Wait. What did you just say before that? Pasta. Did anybody else say pasta? Winner, pasta dinner. We've got a little bit of penne. Looks like with some pesto and some sun-dried tomatoes. I'm all of a sudden hungry. This is the last image. Can anybody see what that is? Somebody said steak, bread, pizza. Who said pizza? Ryan. The za, the pizza. Amazing. I share these pictures with you simply to say, I can't help but feel in some way over the years that the picture of Jesus' ecclesia has gotten blurry. It's been blurred. And it's been blurred for a lot of reasons. My big question today is, what are we for as a part of Jesus' church? We know our mission. We know how to accomplish our mission. But what are we for as a part of Jesus' church? And for centuries, the church has been, in blurry ways, been for some things that have created a lot of conflict for us as Jesus followers. In our history, there are things that the church has been known to be for, such as violence. The church has been known to be for hatred, for bigotry, for segregation, for intolerance, for the Crusades. How many of you have heard, I don't want to be a Christian. Do you remember the Crusades? For abuse, for control. When Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia and the gates of hell won't stand against it, are these the things that were in his heart? You know that not everything that's been accomplished in the name of Jesus is in the heart of Jesus? Not everything that's been accomplished in the name of Jesus is actually in Jesus' heart. And this is important. If we're going to own church and be church, we have to know this for who we are and who our Savior is. It's kind of like the Bible. In the Bible, we read narratives of murder and adultery, slavery, incest, deceit, lies. You know that not everything the Bible reports, the Bible condones? Did you know that? Not everything the Bible reports, the Bible condones. Not everything that's been done in the name of ecclesia is actually an accurate portrayal of Jesus' ecclesia. So the big question, what are we for as a part of his church? What are we for? The narrative of a loving God moving heaven and earth to restore and rescue his prized creation, us, people, is so beautiful that God did it despite our mess and despite our sin and despite our brokenness and despite our mistakes and despite the things that were said and done in his name that were never in his heart. God still sent his son and still made a way to set it right. After Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, things got crazy. In the first century, things got a little bit nuts. News spread like wildfire throughout the Middle East about this Jewish rabbi who people were calling the chosen, the promised Messiah. And he'd been killed, and hundreds of people had miraculously seen him alive again. And what are we going to do with this information? And then Jesus' ecclesia exploded. But there was pushback. Significant pushback. The Jewish elite didn't see the way, these first century Jesus followers, they didn't see them as a new thing to be tolerated. They actually saw them as a perversion of Judaism that needed to be squashed. And so they sent out people to persecute and capture and imprison Jesus followers and to kill them if necessary. And at the head of that charge was this guy named Saul. And that the early church came under massive persecution. And it was dangerous to be a Jesus follower. This morning in our Instagram live stream, we took a moment, those that were watching live or maybe you watched later this morning, we took a moment to pause and just acknowledge and pray for Jesus' church across the world today that's gathering right now in secret somewhere because they're being persecuted because they're following Jesus. And in the first century, it was normal to expect persecution if you were a part of the way, if you were a Jesus follower. Jesus lived and he taught in a way that made the picture of his ecclesia clear. Love God, love others as you learn to love self. Go out into every corner and share the good news with people who've never heard it before. And as followers of Jesus began living out this clear, unblurred image of church, they got pushback. And I want to tell you that are listening here today, every time you begin living a life that paints a clear picture of the mission and the movement of Jesus, you can expect some pushback. You can expect some pushback. But all of a sudden, this man named Saul had a personal encounter with Jesus on a road. And he had this profound conversion. And the man who was out front killing Christians all of a sudden became one of them. And what was a season of chaos and this rapid message being spread despite chaos all of a sudden became a season of peace for the early church. Their greatest adversary switched sides. He had an encounter with a living God. He had an encounter with a risen Jesus. And he said, I'm in. I'm yours. Your love's too good to leave me here. And Saul became Paul and started on mission with Jesus. And he was a crazy radical misfit of a leader and wrote like half of what we call our New Testament in the Bible. And the season of peace hit the church. Despite the fact, and I love this, despite the fact that diversity and there was great cultural difference among them, they were wading through, well, I used to be a Jew, but now I'm a part of the way. So do I have to still follow Jewish things to be a Jesus follower? And then there were people that weren't Jewish who were like, I want to follow Jesus too. And the Jews were like, okay, should we circumcise them, right? They're like, things got messy, right? Things like if you were an adult man in the first century that was interested in following Jesus, you'd be like, I'm gonna drop the wife and kids off at the door and I'll be back, right? And they fought about these things. But despite the diversity and the craziness and cultural differences and where they came from, they found this pocket, this sweet spot of peace. And that's where we pick up what are we for as a part of Jesus' church. And I want to look at Acts chapter 9, verse 31 in the Passion Translation. After this, meaning after this persecution, after all this hard stuff that people worked through, the church all over Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and that's important, like in a historical context, Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, they didn't get along, okay? But the church throughout all of these regions experienced a season of peace. And what did that season of peace look like? The congregations grew larger and larger, with the believers being empowered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. They worshiped God in wonder and awe and walked in the fear of the Lord. This peace and unity around the mission and the movement of Ecclesia is summed up as following: numerical growth and increase, empowered and encouraged by Holy Spirit, worshiping in wonder and awe, and walking in the fear of the Lord. And of all the things that Jesus' church has been known for, what if we were known for those things? What if we just decided today, not sitting on a white horse trying to redeem this whole thing, not bashing or negating the centuries of Jesus' followers who've come before us, not diminishing what God has still managed to accomplish through this ragtag, messy, broken humanity's worst failures, but just saying, you know what, moving forward, what if I lived out the mission and the movement of Jesus based on what we should be known for, not what we're against? Because at the end of the day, I just really love his church. I just really love people set aside, called by name, invited into a story, embraced with grace, living on mission, sharing in the story of Jesus, here, now, whatever the cost. And I would love to do my part to live out clearly with no blurred picture, just live out clearly what we're for as Jesus followers. And I can't force you to do the same, and I can't manipulate you to do the same, but I want you to know I desire for you to do the same. As your friend, as we've been invited into in this season, pastor this church, this is what I want for you. Acts 9:31. Number one, the mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia is to grow and increase in numbers. That creates tension in the modern world. Why? because I can't tell you the amount of people that I've met in the last year who are like, this is great. I really like small churches. And I don't know what God has for us down the road, but I know that healthy things grow. And I know that we're working our butts off to create spaces and time and opportunities for you to always feel like you're a part of something small. So that as we grow bigger, we also grow smaller. Which is why we talk about groups, which is why we plan barbecues all summer long, which is why we have next steps, which is why we create moments for you to serve and be a part of. Healthy things grow. Acts records how the church grew and how hundreds and thousands of people were added to their numbers, often daily. Talk about a system failure. If tomorrow, by the grace of God, thousands were added to this sense of, this expression of, we'd be hooped, man. I don't know what we'd do. I don't know what we'd do, right? Talk about the early church leaders, like, how do we care for these people? How do we gather these people together? How do we feed these people? How do we, all the systems and structures and management stuff that comes to mind. The mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia is to grow and increase in numbers. And so the question I have with this one is, are you committed as a part of church to seeing it grow and increase numerically? Are you committed to that? And I love that within human beings is this natural evangelistic bent. It's a human thing to celebrate things that we love. It's an unbelievable human quality to invite people that we know and care about into what we know and love. And I see it all the time with restaurants, right? I see it with clothing stores. I see it with new apps that give me better filters for my social media posts. Have you heard about this? Oh, we got to download it. Give me your phone, right? I'll show you how it works. There's a human quality that when we're excited about something and that we find value in something and when we appreciate something and when something, dare I say, has changed our life, that we like to talk about it. Except for faith in Jesus. Right? I was like, I don't want to be judged. That's why we're teaching this series. That's why we're trying to change a mindset that we don't attend church out of religious obligation or historical family heritage. But we live out this mission and this movement because of what's inside of us. And I would love for you to share in that with me. No, you don't have to arrive. You don't have to be perfect. Bit by bit, I'm evolving into the image of Jesus, and it's going to take me to the day that I'm dead. We're all hot messes. Face it. Own it. Live with it. Change. Grow. And then invite other people to do the same. The greatest gift you can extend to somebody who's far from Jesus is the opportunity to experience the life of ecclesia like you have. Are you committed to seeing Jesus' church not just evolve? Maybe you're visiting from a different expression, a different part of the body in the city or another province today. Are you committed to seeing Jesus' church grow numerically? Bring someone with you. Number two, the mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia is to live empowered and encouraged by Holy Spirit. In your day-to-day, think about this. Put it this way. What do you lean into to encourage you or empower you? What do you normally lean into to encourage you or to empower you? My love language is words of affirmation. So I'll be honest. There have been unhealthy seasons in my life where I've leaned into relationship with people to affirm me, to encourage me. And I've lived in the ditch on that one. What do you lean into to empower you and encourage you? Because the mission and the movement of Jesus, what we should be known for, is that when it comes to the encouragement and the empowerment that gets us through today, not just gets us through, but with purpose and excitement and dignity and strength, it all comes from the Spirit of Christ within us. Not by my might, not by my power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. Are you making room to invite God's presence and God's Spirit into this day's moments today? And what areas in your life have you been trying to find power or encouragement from other things? From what you're good at, from how you've been equipped, the gifts, the abilities you have, the relationships, the status, I don't know. But are you leaning in and inviting God's Spirit to bring encouragement and empowerment in a way that only God's Spirit can? That's what I want to be known for. Because when this takes place in our lives, that's when we find sweet spots where we meet people and they're like, look, man, I know you don't have it all together. And yet you just seem alive and encouraged and like there's a strength about you. What's this about? When people ask me that, I'm always like, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? Because I'll tell you. But you got to tell me that you really want to know. It's God's Spirit. It's the Jesus that we follow. Bit by bit, transformation requires a willingness on our part to allow the deep heart work of God's Spirit to change us. Oh man, I'm running out of time. Who will give me like 5 extra minutes today? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Is this okay? I have 2 more points, that's it, and then I'm done, but I know I'm going quick. Oh man. Number three. The mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia is to worship in wonder and awe. Now, worship has been attached to the music that we sing when we gather together. And I'm okay with that because that's a part of worship. But that's not indicative of worship. Because theologically, how we live, how we love our spouse, how we serve our children, how we engage with our boss at work, all of that is worship, right? How we treat the person ringing through our groceries at wherever you shop for groceries, all of that is worship. But I do want to pick on the music side of worship when we gather together. Because I've believed as a musician, and I'm 43 years old, I started singing when I was 6, taking music lessons and piano lessons and singing lessons, and I'm still really crazy passionate about making music and growing as a musician. And so when the church gathers together, and I'm in the front row being loud, I gotta forgive, right? When there's moments, and maybe you felt it today, or maybe you didn't, I don't care. There's moments when who's ever up here helping lead that music takes a step back, and then the church bellows this heart cry. And together, just for a brief moment, we experience the wonder and the awe of how good our God is. And we declare things like, I'm in, I'm yours, your love's too good to leave me here. And even if it's just for the fleetingest, is that a word, of moments, where like I walked in doubting God's reality and presence in my life, but I just for a second felt it. And wherever you're at in your journey of like just leaning in and figuring out who Jesus is for you or long distance, I desire for a gathering of people that refuses to be complacent when we sing together. It's actually one of our values as a church family, that there would be a raw passion that comes out of the hearts of men and women and who sing and declare, regardless of what's going on, of the goodness of God. And I want that to be a marker, because what I've discovered is when I bring somebody into this space on a Sunday morning with me to say, come experience this family that we've found, and they sit in that music part, it almost reaches into their core more than what I'm doing right now, or more than anything else that takes place on a Sunday. And they walk away going, what was that? Well, it was the wonder and the awe of the King that we follow. Give yourself permission to be captivated by the wonder and awe of a Savior. The importance of singing when we're together. And if you're like, I'm not a singer. Do you want to know why we sing in church? Because everybody has a voice. Everybody can sing. Some of you are songbirds. Some of you are carrion crows. Doesn't matter. We can all do it. And if we want to, we could all get better at it. That's a whole other conversation. But the importance of public singing as a form of collective worship, man, the spiritual discipline of togetherness, where we collectively set our hearts and minds on who God is, not just for me, but for us, the mission and movement of worshiping in wonder and awe. And lastly, What should we be known for? The mission and movement of Jesus' ecclesia is to walk in the fear of the Lord. And of the four thoughts I've shared today, this one has the opportunity to mess us up if we're not careful. Because when we say fear, it conflicts with what we know to be true about Jesus setting us free from fear. And we're like, should I be afraid of God? And the only thing I can say to you is, I'm a dad. And I have three wonderful kids. For the most part, wonderful kids. And as a dad, I want my MO, like I want my standard operating procedure in our home to be one of love. That's my desire. I want my kids, and I say this, I look them in the eye. I'm so proud of you. I believe in you. You've got what it takes. I love what I see coming out of your heart. I love this habit of compassion for other people that I see growing inside of you. And those moments for me as a dad are like, yeah, I love it. And you see this fire in my children's eyes as we affirm and call out the Spirit of God from within them. But don't you know there are moments in the parenting journey where I'm comfortable with just a little bit of fear. But you know, that little bit of fear is always surrounded by the confidence of love. And I can't help but I care deeply about honoring the message of God with how I live. I carry something so costly and so valuable and so precious that I know I'm going to mess up, but I don't want to disappoint my daddy. But when I do disappoint my daddy, it's going to be okay because he loves me. He's going to pull me back in and he's going to pull the best out of me. He's going to help me learn and grow through this. And so I just want to tell you, when it comes to us walking in the fear of the Lord in our day-to-day life, I want to sum it up for you like this as I close out. Never, ever, 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 ever allow what you've done or what you've said to isolate you from his love. Never allow a choice you've made, a habit you have, a decision that you're thinking through, words that you spoke to somebody in anger, never allow those moments to separate you and isolate you from the Father's love. I think that's living in the fear of the Lord. Despite my own brokenness, I'll lean into his love because I know he's there. What are you known for as a follower of Jesus? What are we for as a part of his ecclesia? Well, let's be known for and committed to numerical growth and increase. Let's be known for and committed to being empowered and encouraged by Holy Spirit. Let's be known for and committed to a regular habit of worshiping in wonder and awe. And let's be known for and committed to walking in the fear of the Lord, always leaning into his love. Amen. I'm done. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this moment. Every moment so far today that's led up to this moment. Every moment we're going to experience together moving forward. God, your presence and your spirit and your life are evident in our worship, in our togetherness, in how we've gathered today. And we just want to say thank you for being true to your promise to never leaving us, never forsaking us, and always being with us. God, we've encountered your love. We've been reminded of how good you are. So let us leave this place in the surrender and in the tension of living in that love. Despite what's going on in our home or in our marriage or in our finances or our workplace or our job situation, our own mental and emotional health. God, that we would never forget how you've surrounded us with your love. How you call the best out of us. How you speak to our promise
not to our past. And God, as we close this service out today, I know in this room are people who have never surrendered their life to the gift of Jesus. They've never boldly, recklessly said, God, I'm in, I'm yours. Define me, shape me, invite me into your story. And for hundreds and thousands of years, beautiful people have reached a point of surrender in their life where they said, God, I've been trying to build something on my own, create something on my own, prove something on my own, strive for something on my own, fight through something on my own, and I'm done. And so I yield, I surrender, I submit, I come under your grace, I come under your forgiveness, I come under your mercy, your loving kindness, and your authority in my life. And if you're in the room today and you've reached that point of surrender here and now, I want to invite you into the greatest story ever told, where God has a place for you and a purpose for you, if you would lean into his love. So we're just going to out loud pray a real simple prayer, all of us in the room, but some of you are going to pray this prayer for the first time. And so would you just repeat after me? Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to make the picture clear. Today I choose to yield and surrender every part of my life to your love, to your grace, and to your leadership. Would you come into my life? Give me a new heart. Fill me with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. If you're ever in the Edmonton area, pop by for a visit. And if you need any more information, visit evolvechurch.com. We hope to see you soon.